this morning I have a confession to make. I find myself entrenched in this heated battle, and to be honest with you, I refuse to give up another inch of ground. I put in the time, I put in the blood, the sweat, and I'm almost close to tears, but I refuse to give up one more inch of ground. I'm going to show you a picture of the face of evil here in a minute. If you got a child next to you, this might be a good time to hide their eyes, or if you have a sensitive spouse. Ready? I'm going to give you a countdown in three, in two, and one. Behold the face of evil. Okay, so maybe evil was putting it a little bit strong. You know what it's like, don't you? How many of you have a lawn that you're taking care of or property that you're trying to upkeep? Yeah, you know how it goes. You put in the time, you put in the cultivation, the landscaping, the mulch, rinse, wash, repeat, right? You pray for rain. When there's too much rain, you pray that it goes away. And then you put in the turf builder. I've done the steps. I've done the time. I've got the blisters. I got the tears in the farm jeans from back home. You know how it starts out. You've done everything right. You put in the time. But then you look out over your green landscape that is your lawn, and this is what you see. You're like, oh, that's not bad. And you go out the next morning, a cup of coffee, and you about spit your coffee out because guess what? It came back with friends. You ever had that experience? And it goes from that step. And by the way, you cut the grass, you do the turf builder, you spot shot with the various sprays and so on. And if you're like me, every now and then you're mowing, and you just can't ignore that yellow stain right on the green carpet that is your grass. You kind of hold on to the lawnmower, and you reach down, you pop it, right? And then you cruise on. And you come out the next morning, and then this is what you see. How did I miss that? You ever felt that way? And if you don't catch it, this is what happens next. You seen that? White, the color of doom, right? And if you let that go just a little bit too long, this is what happens, right? And then you look across the way, and then you see the neighborhood going this. Thank you. God's blessings. Right? Now, some of you have said, Pastor said, don't worry, because we have a solution for that, right? Dandelion tea. Take care of all your problems. If you have that recipe, see me after worship. We know what it's like to put in the time with things like this, don't we? A guy by the name of Saul, boy, he did too. In his eyes, he's looking over a landscape that's changing, and it's not to his liking. And what he's seeing is a group of noxious, detestable weeds that need to be ripped up with the heads popped right off. And would you believe he's talking about Christians? Acts chapter 9, we'll come to that in a minute. This morning, we're tuning back into our current sermon series, which follows on the heels of Jesus' powerful resurrection from the dead. In fact, the sermon series is entitled, The Reality of the Resurrection. This changes everything. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, you have a glimpse of what's in store for you and for me through the working of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. And it is good. And because of that, you and I have a living hope. And in this sermon series, we're taking a closer look at certain people to see how their lives were changed for the rest of their lives because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's our hope and prayer that as you leave worship, you are transformed by the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and that your life would not be as it was when you walked in, but you would leave changed. Back to Saul. If anybody had a resume to boast in life, it would be Saul. In fact, a little bit later, after his conversion, he gives us a glimpse of his working resume in Philippians chapter 3. And it looks a little something like this, because he's got a group around him that says, well, you got a resume? Well, I got a resume, Paul. Paul says, okay, check this out. You want to brag? Look at this. Paul says about himself, circumcised on the eighth day. And by the way, just in your mind, picture a scorecard, if you would. And you got a red pen. You got a red pencil. Teachers? Any teachers out there? Right? You're checking the list. How many of you have a to-do list at home? Right? What do you do when you have something completed? You check it off. You check that box, right? Look how many boxes Paul checks. You want to boast? Hold your card up against Paul is what he says. Philippians 3. Circumcised on the eighth day. Check. Of the people of Israel. Check. of the tribe of Benjamin checks that he's going through the ancestry.com, and he's saying, boy, you want to trace something back to a people blessed by God? Check this out. A Hebrew of Hebrews, check. As to the law, a Pharisee, big check. As to zeal, check this out, a persecutor of the church. I don't know if we want to check that one off, but okay, check. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. See, if I could paint you a picture, and just to borrow from that metaphor a little bit ago, Saul has been working really hard to cultivate the landscape of life and ministry for himself. So when people see him, it's like, boy, there goes Saul of Tarsus. There's a guy that has his act together. I want to be like Saul, right? You got the Nike commercial. You got the sports figure commercials. Guess who's in it? Not Michael Jordan. I know he's retired, right? You're like, come on, Pastor Seth. That's years ago. It's Saul. Look at Saul. But here's what's going on in Saul's life. He's worked really hard to make sure everything is well-maintained, everything is done perfectly. All the T's are crossed, all the I's are what? They're dotted. Yeah, you know how this goes. But then he looks over here and he sees something pop up, and it's a Christ follower. And maybe it doesn't look that bad at first. I mean, after all, you know, one, let's not panic, right? Let's not call the newspaper, let's not call the authorities. Okay, it's one, right? But what happens when you leave one unchecked? You come out the next morning with your cup of coffee, whoa, how many are there now? Well, there's more than one. And if you leave that unchecked a little bit longer, guess what else happens? It starts to throw seeds. In other words, the message of Jesus Christ starts to spread. And when left unchecked, boy, you got a big problem for the life and the landscape that you've cultivated for yourself, according to Saul. Saul's on a path to destruction, and he's got this wanted poster in his back pocket. And if it helps you to keep this image in mind, I'd encourage you to take a mental snapshot of this. Because in his life, this is what he's operating off of. He's got a big old wanted poster in his back pocket and in his heart. And you know who public enemy number one is for Saul? It's on the screen for you today. Who is it? Followers of Jesus Christ. Saul, what's your issue? What's your beef? Jesus came and preached a message of repentance for forgiveness of sins and life in his name. What's your beef, Saul? It's not according to his tradition. It's not according to his way. And Jesus doesn't fit into his landscape of life and ministry. Can you relate to that? Now, let's be honest. Maybe we're not going around like Saul is here. And let me show you what Saul's been doing. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. If there was a troll on the internet saying bad stuff, boy, Saul has got that one down perfectly. Except he's not just a man of words. No. Saul's a man of action. And this is what he's about. He went to the high priest, and this way he gets validation. See, now it's just not one man's crusade against this Jesus. Now he gets the whole backing of the religious institution of the day. And if he's going to squash some weeds, he's going to get support doing it. And he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which, by the way, the early Christians in the church were called the way. Kind of cool as we think about what Jesus said about himself. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14. If he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, sorry ladies, men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul is the last person you want coming to your cul-de-sac or your neighborhood block party. Ding dong, hi, it's Saul, can I come in? No, please go away. Saul's going to do everything he can to make sure this Jesus is completely wiped off the map. There is no place for Jesus in Saul's landscape of life and ministry. Now, let me ask you a question. Maybe you and I don't know what it's like to go around and pull Christians out of their home and kick them to the curb. But maybe you and I can resonate with this. And let's be honest this morning. There are times in our life where the last thing we want to hear is Jesus' word for us, right? I mean, let's be honest. This holds true for me too. God comes to his church and says, I'm going this way. Would you dare to follow me this way? And we're like, not a good time. Check back next year. God says, I'd like for you to show this person unconditional love because they haven't been given that in their life. Would you be willing to do that? Would you dare to make that move? And what's our response? I think you got the wrong person. God says, here's a really big, scary assignment, but don't worry, I'm going to be with you. Could you forgive? And how often is our response, God, you're asking the wrong person the wrong question? See, maybe we don't understand what it's like to be in Saul's shoes, to go around and to physically persecute. But maybe, just maybe today, you and I resonate with your seat and with my seat, what it's like to say to Jesus, sorry, Jesus, today you get the spiritual stiff arm. I'm really good where I'm at. Why don't you check back with me later? Or better yet, why don't you find somebody else for your gospel mission? And our response to that word of law is, I think you're sharing that message with the wrong person. But I'd have to ask you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are we doing the work God is calling us to do today? Nestled in a culture and context that is rapidly changing, is our church willing to go out in the same vein and spirit of those first disciples who were changed forever by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because the writing is on the wall. For the congregations in the church that don't want to go out and connect with the community that's rapidly changing, the future looks very bleak. Saul doesn't like anybody messing with his landscape, and maybe, just maybe, you don't either. Where does this find you today? Saul's on this road, and he's got a course set for himself, and his GPS is taking him one place and one place only, the end of the church. But wouldn't you know, somebody loves Saul enough to stand in his way and say, Saul, this is not the way to go. It's the same person who's standing in your path today saying, if you go down the path you're going down, it's going to end in heartache, destruction, and more brokenness. That's someone that loves you enough to challenge you and me today. His name is Jesus. And look what he does for Saul. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? This isn't a warm and fuzzy, hey, would you knock it off, please? Come on, come on. Why do you persecute me? Why do you live your life as if I'm not real? Why do you live your life as if I'm not the Messiah who's come to redeem the entire world? Why do you live as if I was not nailed to a cross and 3 days later came back alive with radical, realistic proof? Saul, Saul, why do you break my heart? Saul asks, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Let's be honest, this is not a bright and cheery skip down a yellow brick road, is it, to some emerald city with rainbows and unicorns? In fact, if we want to see a road like that, we should go to the passage just before this one, where we're told about a guy named Philip, and he's on this road, and there's this guy over here who's an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading scripture, and this is low-hanging fruit. He says, boy, I'm reading scripture, and I don't know what it means. If only someone could help me. Boy, that's low-hanging fruit. That's a good day. That's a yellow brick road with great opportunity. And at the end of that road trip, it colors everything for the better. In fact, the Ethiopian eunuch, he sees some water, some plain old water, and this is what he says. Check this out. He says, why shouldn't I be baptized? How cool is that? That's a road we want to travel, right? That's got sunshine all over. That's got gospel raining down from the ceiling, or from the sky, depending on where you're sitting. But then we come to this passage, and it looks kind of dark, doesn't it? It seems like it's filled with a lot of law and judgment. In In fact, such was the judgment on Saul in this moment. What happens to his sight? He's blind for more than one day. I don't know what that's like, and maybe you don't either. But sometimes God loves his people enough to stand in the way and bring them to a difficult place so that they don't get the destruction they're bringing upon themselves without even knowing it. Do you resonate with that? This morning in our adult Bible class, and once again, please pray about being with us. In our adult Bible class, Walking Through the Desert with God, we're taking a look at these desert moments that you and I come to in life. And maybe you know about those. Physical ailments, loss of a loved one, like with our prayer request this morning, loss to suicide, loss of a job that you've worked so hard for, education that's kind of ebbing and flowing, income that goes out but it doesn't come back in. See, I think we know about deserts in life. And in our study, we talked about how God does this for you and for me. He brings shade. In fact, this is what he does to his church. He makes his church to be shade for people that don't have it. How cool is that? But sometimes in life, people run to the wrong sources of shade. Maybe you've seen it in the life of someone you love. Maybe you're there today. The wrong kind of shade, like substance abuse, pornography, intimacy outside of marriage, lying, looking to someone that promises the world but gives you hell instead. But this is what God does for you and for me, and just as he did for Saul. He loves you enough to stand in your path this morning and say, don't go back to that. God's very clear in his word. The path that's on the heels of his leadership, it does carry blessing. It carries his guidance. But those that adamantly refuse that, they have a much different experience in life. Friends, don't go down the path you've been going down. Can you hear Jesus calling to you today saying, don't keep going down that same path? I love you enough as your pastor and brother in Christ today to say, stop it. As one who's been going down paths in life that are not fruitful, don't go down there anymore. Where is Jesus calling you to recalibrate your GPS today? So here's what happens with Saul, right? And maybe I missed something in my reading of this, but here's what happened with Saul. Saul received some unsolicited roadside assistance. Did you catch that? Saul's on his path, and boy, he is so self-convinced, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to knock out those Christians. I'm going to get the back of the church for it. It'll be great. But someone loves him enough to stop him in his tracks and say, you're going the wrong way. And who is it? It's Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus is in the business of doing that out of his love for you? Challenging you and me to get away from the same old, the path we've been going so that we would know a good path. And here's what happens for Saul, and here's what happens for you and for me when we get this unsolicited roadside assistance. A life changes forever. Do you know someone who's on fire for the Lord? Kind of seems a little freaky at first, like a little off, right? You don't talk like the rest of the people I know. You don't act like the rest of the people I know. You don't have the same value system the rest of the people I know. There's something just off about you. Jesus Christ wants to turn your world upside down. But here's the thing, it's for the good. Saul had his life turned upside down by this unsolicited roadside assistance. And you know what? In life, we get that unsolicited roadside assistance as well. Today, Jesus Christ and his relationship with you through his word and his Holy Spirit is giving you and me unsolicited roadside assistance. And here's the hope, that it would change the landscape of life and ministry for you and for me, not just today, but guess what? Forever. How cool is that? Saul has this guy that comes into his life, and by the way, we want to leave Saul in the dark. That's a horrible place to be. We'll be left in the dark. God in his grace remembers Saul, and so he sends this guy by the name of Ananias to go to Saul, which I don't know what that's like to get that kind of request. Go to the person that's basically making life miserable for everybody like you. By the way, he's ripping out men and women from their homes. He's having them beat, thrown into prison, and sometimes much, much worse. Go to the house, knock on the door, and say, Saul, it's me. Can I come in? But here's what Ananias does with the tough assignment. He goes. Acts 9, verse 17. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you be willing to have your eyes open today? I can't force them open for you. I'd love for you to experience the joy that comes with following Jesus Christ, but I can't do that for you. God's Holy Spirit can. But here's the thing. God's not going to force you to do something you don't want to do. But would you dare? Would you dare for maybe the first time in your life to have your eyes open and have your heart changed? Would you dare to be open to that unsolicited roadside assistance today for you? We heard this before from Paul. Circumcised on the eighth day. Check. Of the people of Israel. Check. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Check. A Hebrew of Hebrews. What? Check. You got it. Someone's with me. Hebrew of Hebrews. Check. As to the law. Check. He's Pharisee. Check. As to zeal. A persecutor of the church. Double check. As to righteousness under the law. Blameless. Where's my Nike commercial? That was pre-Jesus. That was Saul living for Saul. But look what happened when Jesus stepped into his life like he desires to step into yours today. Look how his resume changes. Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of who? Christ. Yeah, not Saul, not Seth, not you. Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you see what happens when Jesus comes into a life? It changes. Are you ready for some unsolicited roadside assistance in your life today? See, for Saul, and like for you and for me, after Jesus comes in, life starts to look a little bit different. It starts to sound a little bit different. And do you know who it starts to look like? It looks like Jesus. And when that happens in your life, do you know what you get to do? Do you know what you're blessed to do? You're blessed to go up to someone else and say, imitate me as I imitate him. Maybe, just maybe, that's a good place for Praise Lutheran to start today. Could you imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ? If it's not of Jesus, we don't want it. If it's not in his word, forget about it. We're tired of the contemporary do-it-yourself worldly wisdom. What we need, what you need, what this world needs, what this community needs is who? Jesus. Is the Lord calling you to take a different route today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us enough to stand in our way, to show us a different route. You can only imagine the ways in which this drove Saul nuts, self-convinced of what he was doing and how it was the right thing to do. But then someone came into his life and changed the landscape of life and ministry forever, your son, Jesus. We know that in the strength of a relationship with us, Jesus comes to us today through his word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, and invites us to not go back. Would you overcome our resistance? Would you overcome our sin? Would you overcome our hard, stubborn hearts? Would you make Praise Lutheran and Little Praisers Daycare to to be the people and community of faith you desire for us to be. Would you give us wisdom to know the direction you're going? Would you give us courage to follow you in that? Would you give us strength? Because we can't do it alone. Help us to be able to authentically and confidently say to those around us, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. Get rid of everything else today, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time in our service.